Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of changes going on around college football, and one of them has to do with a guy that we thought was coming to Georgia, and apparently that is not the case. As we started the show, we said, allegedly, he was flipping from Georgia back to Vandy, or from Georgia to Vandy. And, Mike, now I guess we have confirmation that that is actually happening before we get to our guy Connor Riley, who I'm sure has plenty more on this. But also, you were just talking about coaches potentially in places we didn't think they might be.
Yeah, the news now is Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to be allowed to coach the offense of Ole Miss, and in maybe a preemptive move to keep the College Football Playoff Committee from dropping them in the rankings. Lane Kiffin was tweeting about it out there on social media, but whether this was an arrangement that was subsequently happened after Lane went to LSU, but either way, allowing Charlie Weiss to come back and coach as far as Ole Miss will go, they'll have their OC, which makes him a little bit sexier, I would imagine, to the committee.
No doubt about it. Jarrett Curtis is the young man we're talking about. The number one quarterback is apparently flipping his commitment from Georgia to Vandy. Remember, Vandy's had a terrific season, and their quarterback, Diego Pavia, has been really good. With that, we got to talk some dogs. Before we get into Alabama and Georgia, I want to know what you know about this, Connor Riley, and what you think about it with Jarrett Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis today, it's reported by Rivals that he is flipping his commitment. Now, Curtis came out and said that no final decision has been made, but it seems to have been trending this way for a while, where Vandy has been making this a recruiting battle, and it seems like they've done enough to win his commitment. The big difference between Georgia and Vanderbilt, it's not NIL in this case. It is not, whatever outside factors it might be. He's got an easier shot at playing time right away at Vanderbilt next season. Pavia moving on after this season, whereas Gunnar Stockton has another year of eligibility, and that ultimately proved to be the difference for Curtis. He wants to get on the field early, committed to Georgia twice, and at no point was that really a big factor, early playing time, in his decision to commit to Georgia. But these are 17, 18-year-old kids, and his mind changed on that matter. Again, nothing official from Curtis himself. He'll make that announcement tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. But the way it looks right now, for the second time in the last three seasons, Georgia's lost a five-star quarterback right before the early signing period.
And the word we had heard is that his camp not happy that somebody leaked that information, and that's why it is what it is, but he's still going to go to Vandy, which is good news and bad news. In this world we live in with having your collective together, you can get a big talent like that. Now, he's staying in Nashville, but it just kind of gives hope for some programs that maybe either non-traditionally, although certainly Clark Lee has turned them into a perennial. But, yeah, so what's plan B? What does Kirby do now?
Yeah, I think it's well too late in this recruiting class to go out and get a quarterback that they feel comfortable in. They are projected to bring back all four of their quarterbacks next year, as none of them are set to exhaust their eligibility. You have Gunnar Stockton, who's had a very good season and can only continue to get better here. So I think in the immediate future, you feel well. I think the big winner from all of this is Ryan Puglisi, a guy we've talked a lot about on this show. This now, I think, clears the way for him to be the starting quarterback at Georgia in 2027. But 2023, they didn't take a quarterback. It ended up being fine there. Dylan Loyola in 2024 flips to Nebraska. That hasn't worked out for him at all. Now he's potentially looking at leaving in via the transfer portal there. Georgia feels comfortable that if they wanted to, they could go in and get a guy out of the transfer portal. We know last year they flirted with Fernando Mendoza, who ended up going to Indiana, and that worked out very well for Mendoza. So as I wrote about on Dog Nation today, you know, I think the most interesting thing is, do we see a way that Georgia goes out and recruits quarterbacks moving forward? Because now it's just two of the last three seasons where a team that has not been a traditional power recently, Nebraska and Vanderbilt, have come in and taken a five-star quarterback from you. And there were a variety of reasons that both of those ended up happening. But the reality is that Georgia has made plans at the quarterback position, and for two of the last three recruiting cycles, those have been altered at the 11th hour.
Connor Riley, our guest, going to put you on hold for 1 second. Want to make sure we got clear audio so our listeners can hear everything you're saying. Mike, he's right, though. Whether you thought Dylan Raiola was good or not, he came in and got snatched up. And right. Now you're talking about, again, and we don't know. All right? Here's the thing about these young men. Lots of promise. Right. But we don't know if Jared Curtis is going to be the next guy to lead any team to three national championships. You just hope that they are as good as advertised. But, again, you don't know until you get them on campus. But he's not wrong about having those guys in place and then they end up somewhere else. That is the nature of where we are with college football. Do you like it? Because I don't. But well, it is.
You know, you and I were joking around. It's like, you know, here we go. The big All-American, the five-star guy, and then, you know, fast forward 3 years, there'll be some short, plucky white guy playing quarterback. Now, this was a rather taller white guy, but it'll be some plucky overachiever, you know, maybe a four-star, maybe a three-star, and Kirby just finds a way. Meanwhile, a lesser talent, but still a three-star, Keelan Jones, is a safety that Georgia Tech, Brent Key and his staff, flipped from Georgia today, according to Rivals.
Okay.
So we'll see where that one goes. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're Georgia. You're at the top of the pyramid. You're up there with all the elites. And why the heck are you having the rug pulled out from under you in the last minute every time? Especially with, like, Raiola. I get the connection with his family to Nebraska. But, again, when these people go to, like, when I say these people, what do you mean these people?
What do you mean?
People go to, like, five high schools. You know, you were just another stop on his gypsy road, right?
It feels that way. Connor, let's shift gears and talk about Georgia-Alabama. First, I want to get an injury update on Drew Bobo. What do you know, and what does this look like heading into the SEC championship game?
Yeah, it's a left foot injury for Drew Bobo. I don't think it looks very good. I don't expect him to play this weekend. Mm. He may have played his last snap this season for Georgia. It's a significant loss because I think he was playing as an all-SEC center, one of the best in the country. And there is a steep drop, in my opinion, from Drew Bobo to Malachi Tolliver, who will step in and replace Bobo as Georgia's starting center this week. I think Georgia has options that they can go with, but I think for this SEC championship game, they're going to roll with Tolliver. He started against Charlotte, didn't fare all that great there, came in the second half, and there was a noticeable dip in the way Georgia was able to run the football in that game. This is a pretty significant loss for Georgia, and in my opinion, it does change the ceiling of what this team might be, because I don't know with their current construction, specifically at the center position, if they're capable of winning a national championship without Drew Bobo, who is having an excellent season for Georgia.
Yeah, and it gets worse because, you know, we talked yesterday, TK3, as they call him, Tim Keenan, is a beast at nose tackle. He'll be right over whoever's going to be playing center in this game. We all know about the 1-7 versus Bama, 0-4 in the SEC championship. What the hell was that play call, the game plan against Tech? Why'd they try to turn him into Haynes King, talking about Gunnar Stockton? Was it all because of Bobo? They had no faith in trying to do anything else?
I think that Georgia Tech, and you give them credit for the defensive game plan that they had, I think Gunnar threw an early interception in that game, and he would just struggle to see the field well from there, where he throws the interception over the middle of the field early, where Georgia Tech had a guy where he just didn't see him. And from there, I don't think Gunnar played a very good game. And so they tried to find a way to work around that with how he was throwing the football in that game. But it was pretty alarming for him to go out there and play as poorly as he did. 70 passing yards. And look, I don't want to make too much of this. And yes, they did manage to win both of these games. But in two games in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where Saturday's game will be played, Gunnar Stockton's thrown for 140 yards. And two interceptions to just one touchdown. Now, yes, one of those came at halftime in the SEC championship game last year. But for whatever reason, he has not played well in that building. And now he's got to go face an Alabama team that really needs this game to ensure they get into the college football playoffs. So
I think they're going to need Gunner to play well, and they're not going to have one of his better offensive linemen in front of him. So that way there's going to be even more on his shoulders this week.
Do you think Alabama's playing better than they were when they met earlier in the season?
No, I think that this Alabama team is who they are, and they're going to play. They're going to try and win a 27-23 game every single week. And some weeks they've been able to do that. You see the way they beat Missouri earlier in the season. You see the way they come out and got a win over Tennessee, where the big play in that game was right before halftime, where there was a pick six going the other way. And then you see a game like Oklahoma, where they were turning the ball over and they lose 23-21. You see Florida State, where they fall behind early in that game and they're not able to keep up. Alabama plays like an NFL team, and I actually feel pretty confident knowing what Alabama is going to do this week. They're going to come out, they're probably going to score between 27 and 20 points in this game. If Georgia's able to hold them to 20, I think that's a good recipe for them winning. If Alabama's able to get to 27, that's probably the path to an Alabama victory. I expect it to be another tight, close game. The question is just, can Georgia make the plays? And traditionally, they haven't been able to do that against Alabama.
All right, let me ask this question. I think I asked you after Alabama. Why don't they get Zach Branch the ball more? Five times, you know, he got five catches. I mean, use it or lose it, man. I don't get it. I mean, like, I've been a big fan of Bobo's play calling, but that's one guy I could have used more, Zach Branch.
Yeah, and I think in this game in particular, where you win, you're not playing again until January 1st or December 31st. This is a game where it's sort of a damn the torpedoes kind of thing. Now, Georgia ran the ball very well on Alabama the last time, and I think that's something they're going to want to do again, establish the run and use that to sort of control the game and control the tempo of things, especially if they're able to get out early. But again, you know, to your point, Mike, Zach Branch had five receptions in that game, and the three biggest plays on Georgia's offense in that game all came because of Zach Branch. Yep. 24-yard gain on a screen pass, 23-yard gain on a third down later in the game, and then obviously the game's only touchdown. This is a game like, I believe, the Florida game, where you got to see him get to around 10, 11 receptions in this game. And if he's able to do that, you've seen he's able to create explosive plays. So they've got to find ways to get him the football. And look, Alabama knows this. Alabama's going to do their best to try and shut him down. But even in that Texas game, you know, seven receptions for 41 yards, and the gravity that Zach Branch brings to this offense is going to make things a little bit easier for a guy like a Dylan Bell, a guy like a London Humphreys, or a guy like an Oscar Delp to make plays down the field. And so they've got to be, I think, committed to getting him the football on Saturday.
Let's talk about the rankings, because it's going to be interesting tonight. Mm. Does the committee punish, just a little, Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin leaving? That's question number one. Question number two is, what do they think about Notre Dame, right? Because they won last week, but pretty much everybody who was supposed to win outside of Texas A&M took care of business. What do you think about the rankings that come out tonight?
I think that they've kind of already punished Ole Miss to this point, where you saw them drop below Oregon. You've seen them drop below Texas Tech, despite Ole Miss having a better win than both of those, winning on the road at Oklahoma. You know, maybe they slot Texas A&M ahead of them, but I do think that Ole Miss is going to be the highest, or the, you know, still above all the two lost teams in the rankings tonight. I'm fascinated with what they do with Notre Dame. I could see a world where they drop Notre Dame below Alabama, because, you know, I don't know what the committee's appetite is going to be to keep Alabama at 10, given the season that they've had. And look, Miami and Notre Dame, their resumes are done. Their resumes are complete. And they're both 10-2, and Miami beat them head-to-head. And I would put Miami ahead of that. I know Notre Dame is one of the 10 best teams. I think Notre Dame is a better team than Miami. But you have to reward what happens on the field. And if you don't do that, I think you open up a very nasty can of worms in this set of circumstances. And we've seen, you know, head-to-head matters, because they have Oklahoma ranked above Alabama. Oklahoma beat Alabama head-to-head on the field this season when it was one-loss teams. Alabama was ranked ahead of Georgia because Alabama beat Georgia head-to-head. If you're not going to elect to honor that with Notre Dame and Miami in this instance, I very much question what this committee is for, because the games on the field have to matter. And I think they made a massive mistake 2 years ago when they put Alabama in over Florida State. And quite frankly, I'm worried they're going to do that once again and keeping Notre Dame in the field at the risk of Miami.
All right. Good stuff, as always. Prediction for this weekend? Close game, but what?
Close game, Alabama win. I just refuse to pick Georgia in this game until I see them.
Wow. 1-8 versus Bama for Kirby.
Yep.
That is not elite.
He just said, yep.
Wow.
Connor, tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Wow, that just happened. Yep.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter at @KConOReilly. And hey, look, if Kirby's 1-8, I will be in there in the press conference afterwards asking what it is that Alabama does that had so much success against Georgia.
Be careful, right. Athens. I want to see somebody try to drive you off the road like they did Lane Kiffin.
Come on, Kirby. I want to ask you this one last thing before I let you go. You're telling me the Bobo injury is that significant?
In my opinion, it is. I think he's so important to what they do. He was playing at such a high level.
Okay. Wow.
I do think it's that significant.
All right. It's something we're going to watch. Connor, great job, man. Appreciate you. Thank you again.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Connor Reilly, Dog Nation. Georgia's going to face Alabama in the SEC championship game. Lots of questions. Just keep an eye out on this. Here's the deal, guys. Unless you're double teaming all day, right, which they're not, this simply comes down to my guy's better than your guy. And right now, their guy, and what Connor Reilly's saying, is better than the guy that George is putting in there. And Mike, if he dominates the middle, forget about the run game. Both of those gaps are closed up. He's getting push up the middle. This could be a problem.
It is interesting because remember a couple years ago we talked about, you know, how they forgot about Zach Branch. What's happened to Ryan Williams with Alabama?
Oh, my goodness.
He's fallen off the planet. Like, they forgot about him, too.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see this rematch. I want to see Kirby turn that thing around about the perception about Bama.
All right.
But you're right, Bubba. That's tough.
That's a big one. When we come back, a fan calls out Mike Bell, and I want to tell you what he said. Exactly.
What?
Stay there.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier in the show, we had a couple of listeners who had some things to say, and we shared them with you because they felt like in our pre-show today, which is called Behind the Curtain, that Big O was correct in his assessment about this Falcon football team and how, you know, this season might play out.
In other words, we overestimated how good they'd be, and that Oren said, well, there's too many things, too many variables to get over that over-under Vegas had set at 7.5 or 8.
Absolutely. And one of those gentlemen apparently has now hit Day-Day up and said, hey, I mean, I listen every day too, guys. Tim G, 1981, apparently heard us talking about him earlier and was like, yo, I'm a big fan of the show. Tim G, we just wanted to tell you, thank you, all right, but we probably disagree on the assessment of where you thought this was. And again, right now it's easy. When you're sitting at 4-8, everybody and their mom's coming out and going, oh, I told you so.
But again, you know, there was an over-under of 6.5 to 7 for Carolina, who, by the way, has already hit that. They're there. You know, and that's the thing. There's always going to be a game you lose. Always been a game or two you're supposed to not supposed to win that you win. Teams are always rising and falling. But we were a 6-3. The core of this team was a playoff team, right? Now we had. I thought we were hoping that we were going to remember. I think the number we said was 10 or 12.
That's right.
Combined for James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker, talk about sacks. They're on pace for that or more. So they're doing their job. I had higher hopes. One of the guys who was underperforming is Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd has not been as good as we expected. He's always been an 8.5 sack guy everywhere he goes. But, you know, we didn't know what Divine Diablo was. He's been a pleasant surprise. The problem has been coaching, coaching, coaching. Okay? They don't coach the guys up. We talked to Arch last hour, and we said, look, you really can't blame this on Marquise Williams. Look, the buck stops with the special teams coach. You had to bench a Pro Bowler for not doing his job, and the next man up's not that good. So either we dive into the practice squad, or we have to start using starters and special teams because these guys are killing us. We've lost a ton of games because of special teams. We lost a ton of games because of mistakes and miscues from the coaching staff. Talked about San Francisco and the too many men, not enough guys on the field. These are all parts of this season. But this team, the core was 6-3. And oh, by the way, everyone who told me it was a great idea to have two quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins was the insurance policy this year. Now we're cashing it. I agree with Arch on one thing. He hit some guys in the hands on Sunday.
No doubt.
And they weren't making plays.
Look, drops kill you. I mean, this is where sometimes quarterbacks get too much blame or too much credit. When you hit a guy in the hands, all you see is the quarterback didn't complete the pass. What nobody's talking about is why the dude missed the ball.
Michael B., by the way, just to our thought, says, you know, we talked about the Bears earlier. He goes, the Bears do not have a more talented roster. They've got better coaching. Another guy says, Panthers roster is not on the same level. The coaching is bad. Talking about what we're doing here in Atlanta.
Yeah, man. Look, those are the two things that make a team, and we got, well, we thought we got both right. Now we have two big question marks. That's where we are. And the thing with Michael Penix, fair or unfair, is just moving forward. You cannot definitively tell me that we got the quarterback situation right. We feel good about his upside, and if he comes back completely healthy, God bless him. Let's hope so. Let's hope he's all that. But right now, I cannot look at this situation and tell you that our quarterback situation is sewed up for next year, like or beyond, for that matter.
But again, we went back. You can look it up. We talked about it. The over-under was 7.5 or 8, depending on which sports book you were looking at. You and I said 10. We thought we could win. We could squeeze out two more wins. And I believe this team is capable of that. I think and wherever we go, whatever Arthur Blank decides in this offseason, I think if you don't change the coaching staff, nothing will change. I think a better coaching staff can maximize this talent. I think there'll be some players that they'll come in and evaluate and say, he's not consistent enough. He's got to go. We're not giving Kyle Pitts a contract extension. I think there'll be some players maybe on the defensive side that they'll fail. You know, Cade Nellis, maybe he's at the end of the line or he's not as good as we thought. Don't know. I'm just saying this could be what comes up when people look at the tape of our team. You said it. We got to get a better wide receiver opposite Drake London. Got to get a better corner opposite A.J. Terrell. These are things you can do without a first-round pick next year, too.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, we don't have enough speed on the outside.
All right, so who's talking to me? Somebody's talking smack about me here?
Oh, yeah. Chad2534 on YouTube.
This was during our pre-show.
This is correct. And now, the reason why we're reading these is because a lot of times you guys reach out and you don't think we see it or you don't think we respond. There's just a lot sometimes, and we'd love to respond to each and every one of you. But I found this one interesting. He talks to Mike Bell specifically, and he says, quote, if I were Arthur Blank, I would have an assistant call Mike and tell him that his $5K on season tickets of a $5 billion team isn't enough to demand a face-to-face. Laughing emoji.
Well, again,
he's not done.
I said, we want to hear from Arthur Blank collectively. I don't expect an audience with Arthur Blank, you frigging moron.
He says, what's up with this entitlement? Let me see your manager mentality that everybody seems to have lately. Jeez, Arthur isn't going to tell anybody that he's going to fire the staff while they still have 5 more games. You're delusional, and that is an unreasonable request. Sign Chad 2534.
Hey, Chad, when you're watching Judge Judy today, because you probably don't have a job, you know, you don't have equity because you can't afford season tickets, it doesn't make me a Karen. Oh, I can return serve day-day. Hey, this is our show. Carl and I say whatever the hell we want. It's my microphone. Get your own podcast, Chad. You can do that, then you can say whatever you want there.
Chad 2534.
Yeah. Hey, Chad, if you had a job that paid you enough money to buy season tickets, then you'd have some equity in the team. Now, you can be a fan without having season tickets, but I have made a larger investment in this team than you have. Ergo, I have more passion about this team than you do, and I can say, when this team is not performing, that I want to hear from the owner. And I'm not the only person here in Atlanta that wants to hear from the owner. So it's not delusional, because Arthur Blank made it his business to talk, not as much as Jerry Jones, but he certainly talked mid-season before. He has come on our show, and now it's been radio silence from an owner in the middle of the eighth consecutive losing season without a trip to the playoffs. And that's, I don't think that makes me a Karen, my friend. I think that makes me a guy who's got a right to bellyache about a team that I invest my money in, that I spent five large to go watch in Germany. Maybe someday you can afford to go to Europe, my friend.
Oh, snap.
That was a John Kincaid legs. I just, you know, I've never really done that on our show, but it feels good. I got to be honest, to let the hate flow through you. Well, as we said, the holidays, people get down. You get some of those emails like the one he sent.
And Chad, I'm going to Europe, so there. 2534. Chad, here's the deal. Here's the deal. By the way, this 5K, you act like that's just you know, chump change. It's not that it's the 5K. And by the way, it's none of your business what we paid for our tickets, because we were in when they built the stadium. And let me tell you, they were more expensive back then.
Right.
Okay?
I had season tickets going back to 98, Holmes.
Yes, but you didn't pay a PSL until 2016, 17.
Wrecked everything.
So you add that on to the cost of the season tickets every year. Yes, it's a large investment, man. I mean, look, I'm not out here flaunting. I know there are some people who do that. I'm not out here telling you I do this and that. The point is, I have a right, and Mike has a right to say, hey, as fans and season ticket holders, we deserve a little bit more. And I know you didn't call me out. You called Mike out, but I wanted to hear Mike's response to this because that whole line, 5K on a season tickets on a $5 billion team isn't enough to demand a face-to-face. Okay, so what about the guy that pays $1,000?
Yeah, what about the guy who can't? See, I don't have any kids. I'm not paying for college and all the things other people will in this world have to pay for. There's a lot of guys. There's half of them. I lost 3/4 of my old section at the Georgia Dome because guys that are carpenters like Monkey who build houses, he can't afford that. Not to put your business on the street, Monkey, but I mean, he's got bills to pay. People with mortgages who can't afford to drop a $25,000 to $5,000 PSL before you then spend the $2,000 on season tickets every year. I mean, there's a lot of folks that can't do it. I'm lucky enough to be able to do it.
Yeah, but those folks who also have kids that are in college, you're looking at one. Mike, you make a decision to invest because it's what you love.
You love the team.
It's what you love. It's not. It's your discretionary income. Yeah, you can do whatever the hell you want to do with it. It doesn't matter if you have kids, you don't, or kids in college. People still make the sacrifice. They are owed the same respect.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here.
And again, there's passionate Falcon fans, I know, because guys like Monkey can basically only afford one or two games a year. He's got to go on Ticketmaster and get it. PSL is what it is. But the point we're getting, and again, I don't think, and I don't know where you got so convoluted. You
Chad,
thought,
2534.
We're expecting an audience with Arthur Blank. We'll get a chance to talk to him. But what you don't understand, Chad, because obviously you're not that sharp or you haven't listened or you don't know what's going on with Arthur Blank, he's very in tune with the customer. That's what makes Arthur's silence on this season.
Yes.
So, honestly, uncharacteristic of Arthur Blank.
That's what you just said.
Thank you.
Yes. This is what he does.
So, again, when you're watching, you know, I don't know, whatever it is you watch from the couch, you know, during the day.
2534.
You know, maybe someday you'll be invested in something and you'll be as passionate about it as I am. Or maybe not.
All right. Glad you responded. See, you got me all
2534.
You got me all juiced up.
Like I said, I don't bully people on the radio. Guy just said, get him, Mike Bell. I'm dying at your chat response, says Adrian. No, I mean, like, we're passionate.
If you had a job.
I mean, that's what.
Really?
That's Judge Judy watching.
And that's, I mean, that. By the way, we're friends with Kincaid, a good buddy of ours. We all used to have the same agent. That's like a Kincaid condescending take. And I've never really done that on this show, but I got to be honest, it is kind of fun to do it once in a
Campbell's
while.
Campbell's soup eaten for lunch every day.
Just because you can't afford. Either way, and look, we're being real with this. We're having fun with Chad. 2534. But we're having fun with him. But there is a sense of seriousness with this. Like, we're joking. Ha-ha. But right. We're not. Like, at the end of the day, not just Mike and I, all the season ticket holders deserve that. Right. Respect. Everybody, no matter what you do. And by the way, I got friends, Mike, that sit front row. They've dropped a lot of money, okay? A lot of money. You times that times 4 or 6, and you tell me what you're looking at. That season ticket and those PSLs are a lot. And they're asking me, like, yo, what's up with Arthur Blank? When is he going to speak? But I don't know.
What's the guy's name again? Chad what?
3-2-5-3-4
I mean, I love this sense of entitlement. Yeah, as if being a Falcon fan for 27 years and not going to the playoffs for 8 years gives you a sense of entitlement like a Karen to want to hear from the owner while his team is completely screwing things up 7 ways to Sunday.
I hope Chad's watching tomorrow.
Go park your double watch somewhere else, you Chad. 2-5-3-4
We did not say that. We did not say
In
that.
In closing, Chad, shut up and make my latte.
Oh, wow. 404-726-0929
Well, that's a good job to have, though,
please,
right?
Please start the bid.
They unionized.
Please start the bid.
They got a union now, so he's good to go.
You picked this message of all the ones we got today.
Well, I know.
You know what's funny about
Data,
this?
Data, you got to toughen these kids up. You got, yo, come on. You're
kids,
soft,
kids, this guy's like 45.
We got to toughen you guys up back there.
Here's what's funny about this. Like, literally,
tough
love. When Data showed me this, he goes, I want to get Mike's opinion on it. Well, you just got it.
Right. Be careful what you ask for, right?
There you go.
Tuna fish eating from the can, Chad 2-5-3-4
Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. Last night, a former Falcon did something we've never, ever seen before in the NFL. Literally. Hear what Danny DeVito thought of it next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But a play is play. Tomorrow, guys, we're going to be up there. Our exclusive interview with Coach Raheem Morris, player interview as well from Falcons. Is Carl taking a little vacay?
Yeah, well, you deal with these people.
Well earned. Well, deal. Deal is the operative word here. Your replacement tomorrow is one Squidbilly, Bo Morgan from The Morning Shift. So tune in 2 to 6.
I'm the meat man.
Listen to the radio fur fly as we'll be up there at the branch.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'll probably have to go back and listen to it because I'll be flying. But I'll tell you, I want to hear what Bo has to say, especially with you. You okay, never mind.
Hey, man, remember when Younghoe Koo was a Pro Bowler and we said, wow, we got so lucky? You know, not many teams can go from a guy like Matt Bryant to a guy like Younghoe Koo.
Yeah.
Used to joke around, it's inside the 50. Go out there and kick it. You know, guys kick. We suck in the red zone. He'll go kick another 55-yarder. Well, man, it seems like it's a century ago because ever since we cut him, after losing his way, obviously it all started, you know, last season and the injury and then just couldn't get the job done. He eventually winds up on the practice squad of the Giants. They activate him. And then last night, the field goal attempt, which everybody and their uncle is talking about, which just, I can't even begin to wrap my head around this. Mm. Did you, I know you weren't watching the game live. Did you see it live that day when it went down? I'm watching and I'm still not believing what I saw. I'm like, there's no way the Giants are running a fake. So he completely basically stops. He plants and his plant foot was either long or slid a little bit and he just doesn't kick it. And then, of course, the holder's got to run for his life. That's all she wrote. I tuned over to get the Manning cast reaction. Here's Eli and his partner for Jersey Mike's, Danny DeVito, and Peyton taking a look at it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
If you didn't hear it, Danny, because what the hell was that? As Peyton was kind of, they were kind of talking over each other.
Did you see, and I know you probably did, because I had to go back and watch it this morning after you were telling me, the Jackson Dart reaction was priceless.
He's like, are you blanking? I mean, yes. It's and Jackson Dart's getting killed. First off, I thought, you know, we had a physical game with New England, but they were just extra amped up. I don't know if Vilma's got a vendetta or something against the G-men. Pads were popping. Dudes were just – Jackson Dart's tiptoeing down the sideline. You know, Mahomes kind of lives this dangerous game.
Yep.
And Jackson Dart, I know that Troy Aikman talked about it. John Gruden talked about it when he did his quarterback camp. He's like, you gotta take care of yourself, man. Can't help the team if you're on the IR. You got to get down. And Troy was talking about everybody from RG3 to, you know, you name it, to Jaden Daniels. Guys have got to learn. Jackson Dart's going to learn. The other thing was funny with Jackson Dart, he rolled in last night wearing this leather jacket that looked – somebody had a great line. It looked like the one that Richie Aprile gave to Tony Soprano in the second season. For those who remember The Sopranos, Richie was the unhinged brother of Jackie Aprile. He gets out of prison. He goes, "That's the jacket I took off of so-and-so DeMeo."
Yeah, he did.
You all Joe wanted Pasliano, that jacket.
Yes.
You all wanted that jacket back then. Well, anyway, he wears this thing coming in. But that's what these guys do these days. What about the bling that Jackson Dart's wearing in the game? A lot of ice on your neck.
There is a lot of ice. That it is. I mean, I know Mark Slareff doesn't like it, but look, man, it's what the kids want to do. I mean, if you want to wear bling, put the bling on. How much bling do you think that is, Mike, by the way? You think that's $250,000?
Got to be. Now, I'm not the best at guesstimating that kind of ice. You know, we could ask the guys out at the Xbox, but I mean, that seems to be at least half a million. I don't know what it is.
It's got to be.
It's blingy. And I can't believe he's wearing it out on the field.
Yeah, he's got it.
And by
out
the
there.
Way, that's kind of gaudy. My nana wore a lot of. My grandma wouldn't wear that. That's too much.
It's a lot.
I mean, it's a bit.
But I will say this though: he's not going to get robbed on the field. That's for sure. You know what I mean?
You got that right. Other things.
They will snatch a chain though.
Hey, Juwan Jennings will try to steal it.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson will snatch a chain quick this year.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But they're talking about that he's going to have to figure things out. By the way, Abdul Carter, the big top pick, benched him again for the first half. Guy's missing a lot of games, and he's been late to meetings, and it sounds like the message's not getting through his noggin, because he asked about the meeting. He goes, blank happens, okay? Blank happens.
Not the way you answer that.
Okay, that sounds like maturity right there.
You know
there.
How many sacks he's got?
How many?
Let's just say five less.
Yes.
Than James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker.
We have the same number of sacks combined in this room.
Correct.
He
has not lived up to it.
Making it sound like he's going to be a Jalen Carter, and he's not even close. You know, he's nothing. He's Billy Carter. There you go. Hey, man, another note from the college world. Todd McShay says Jimmy Sexton is messing with Penn State.
What?
Jimmy Sexton, he reps all the major coaches, and, of course, he was repping Franklin at Penn State when Franklin got before he took the job at Virginia Tech. McShay goes on Bill Simmons' podcast. He is of the opinion that Jimmy Sexton is jerking Penn State's chain.
Wow.
The guy that just took the James Madison to UCLA job, Sexton guy, plugged him in there. He says that Sexton is steering guys away from the Penn State gig to punish them for firing Franklin.
Interesting. Well, look, this is...
Lord knows he's paying off the college game day guys.
Of course. Well, Mike, when you have somewhat... He doesn't rep everybody. It feels that way.
It just seems like it.
It right? does. But he has a monopoly on the big names. And when you do, you can play these games, right? You are playing chess. And that is what Jimmy has been doing for many years. He did it when he was repping a lot of guys in the NBA. I mean, look, he's been doing this. I know many people may not be aware of him as much with some other sports, but Jimmy's been around for a long time. But, Mike, that's what he's doing. You move one piece here, guess what? He moves another piece. And in the background, he's getting paid off of all of it.
Right.
It doesn't matter how these pieces fall. That's what's crazy. So, you know, for everybody's like, oh, Jimmy Sexton's controlling things. Yeah, because he's the best at what he does. And guys know when these jobs open, he is going to fill the void.
Right. He's like the Scott Boras of coaching.
Correct.
In that sense.
Correct.
Hey, speaking of college coaches, Brian Kelly, more and more stuff. There was that big sort of comprehensive article in The Athletic. I know it's behind a paywall for some, like that guy Chad, who probably can't afford it.
Oh,
but anyway,
cool.
Carl, Brian Kelly, the latest about, you know, trying to sue LSU, you know, for show cause. Where was the cause? $54 million buyout. There was a lot of talk about him not talking to recruits, not doing the recruiting, and just having no inner people skills. There are certain guys that played on his offensive line for a couple years and didn't even talk to him, his own center.
Yep.
Now word comes out he played over 400 rounds of golf in his time. He was in Baton Rouge.
That's a lot.
I mean, Eisenhower didn't play that much golf,
that's a lot of golf.
In two terms as president.
So who played more golf, Hugh Freeze or Brian Kelly?
I think the winner by a long shot is now Brian Kelly, because you know Freeze was only at Auburn for a shorter period of time. Either way, it is kind of eye-opening. All right, here's another thing in the don't really surprise me category that Eagles fans.
Real quick, you talk about being in a fishbowl, though.
Oh,
that's the kind of stuff.
That's what Lane Kiffin has just stepped into.
That's the kind of stuff. Every time you do something, somebody's going, he's here. He's doing this. This is what's going on. And that fishbowl is, you know, we get all caught up in the numbers, Mike, but that is how these guys live. And it is really, it's secluded, man. I mean, everything you do is scrutinized. Everything.
This one, like I said, I saw this story today about Philly. Doesn't really surprise me. But you guys remember the movie, what was All the Right Moves? It was a young Tom Cruise. Great football movie set in the 80s. The coach, Craig T. Nelson, was his high school coach at Ampipe, fictitious town in the Rust Belt in Pennsylvania. You know, coal mine, refinery town, all that stuff. And Cruise's character is playing defense for him. And in one scene, they basically egg the coach's house after a tough loss. Well, come on, guys. This happened in Philly. Philly fans figured out where the offensive coordinator lives, and they go and egg his house over in Jersey, home of Kevin Petullo. That's, now you're talking about a guy's family.
Too much.
I mean, that's just, and by the way, would any of those chicken blank cats have the balls to say anything to this man's face?
No.
It's the worst of the worst, man. We know a lot of people in Philly, not all, but man, Lord knows I've experienced it firsthand attending sporting events that there are animals, but this is despicable.
Yeah, I agree. Look, there has to be a line from, hey, I'm cheering for my team and we're bad. We know we're bad right now.
Right.
There's no thought whatsoever of thinking about going. I know, don't you say you've thought about it. Going to egg any of these coaches' homes.
It's pathetic.
Ever.
I mean, you got to have some perspective, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just like I said, you know, we're all angry about it, but that's over the line. Hey, but let me wrap.
Real quick, All the Right Moves. Who was the big stud in that movie? The player with the was the Trans Am. Did he have, who was that?
Yeah, that was that Chris Penn?
Am I thinking about the right movie?
No, that was that was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
Who was the big guy? Because there was
that
another.
Was Jefferson. And
Chris Penn's in All the Right Moves.
That's where
Chris Penn. Thank you, Chris.
Chris Penn was in it.
Thank you.
Tom Cruise, of course, we mentioned, and then there was the guy. It was Rifleman was the quarterback.
That's right.
Remember Craig T. Nelson going, they didn't know about the magic in Rifleman's arm. Always love that movie. So there's your homework assignment. Anybody under 25?
Leah Thompson was in that.
Yes.
I'm like, whoa.
Great flick. Again, All the Right Moves, and that happens in that scene.
All right,
speaking of film, and on a high note here with Guy Talk, don't want to end on those knuckleheads from Philly, Quentin Tarantino names his favorite movies of the 21st century.
Okay.
And for Chad, that would be movies since the year 2000.
Oh, you mean Chad 2534?
For the last 25 years. But here's where it's at. Tarantino, I love Tarantino. I love his movies. Said he's only going to make one more.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you pick, man. Reservoir Dogs, you name it. Everyone's got theirs. I mean, we know it. We love it. But his list, let me start with it. Number 10. These are the best movies the last 25 years from Quentin Tarantino. Midnight in Paris. You ever seen it? It's the Owen Wilson character wandering around Paris, and he runs into all these famous people like Hemingway.
I saw it on a whim. It's okay.
This list is all over the place.
It's okay.
Number 9, Shaun of the Dead.
Well, you got to remember Tarantino was the movie guy, too. Like he was
right.
The movie
he worked in a video store while he was writing up all his scripts in his mind and how he was going to make his films.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
I love Shaun of the Dead. Mad Max Fury Road.
I loved it.
cinematically amazing.
Yes.
Right? Just over the top. Here's where it's funny. He puts in a pot boiler like Unstoppable in there. That's the Runaway Train movie with Denzel and Chris Pine.
Yes. I remember that.
That's what I'm saying. This list, people are... They're already analyzing.
So he likes these movies for various reasons.
He's dropped
though.
It. Zodiac comes in at six.
Okay.
Very atmospheric, creepy.
Yes.
And you never get the guy. Number five, one of my favorite movies. I'm a big Paul Thomas Anderson guy. There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood is good.
I Drink Your Milkshake.
Good movie.
Daniel Day-Lewis is the greatest actor of this generation. Dunkirk comes in at four.
Loved it.
He thinks that scene where the bombing, where the Stukas are dive bombing the beach is one of the greatest scenes ever filmed.
Yeah, it's good.
But Christopher Nolan, one of our favorite directors.
True.
Number three, Lost in Translation, a movie that people either get or don't get. Sofia Coppola's film with Bill Murray as a washed-up actor doing commercials in Japan.
I thought it was really good. It might be Bill Murray's best movie, to be honest with you.
Scarlett Johansson in the scene in the underpants is always up there.
Yeah.
Here's number two on Tarantino's list, the best movies the last 25 years, Toy Story 3.
I love Toy Story. We just talked about Toy Story, the new one that's coming out. I just watched the trailer. Mm.
And then number one, and I watch this movie. It breaks my heart every time, but it's one of my faves, Black Hawk Down.
Oh, Mike, tough to watch.
But they nailed it.
Every time. Oh, no doubt about it.
Ridley Scott, man.
I don't know if I've ever been as mad after watching a movie and knowing, obviously, based on the
true story. Which should have happened. Right?
Yes. But you literally, as it plays out, you're mad. Love the movie and the emotions it brings out of you, but it's sad at the same time. I love Black
Hawk Down. Movie critics are reacting to Tarantino's critique, so you can check it out. Anyway.
I don't have as big a problem. The top 10's not bad. Maybe one or two for me, but that's not bad.
I mean, it's different, but that's Quentin Tarantino, man. Yeah. Always getting people thinking or talking about it. But anyway, there's your guy talk for a Tuesday.
All right, Chad, 2534. We're going to talk Falcons, including Raheem Morris and his faith in Marquise Williams. Is it misplaced? Is it misplaced? We got to talk about it. We're going to. It's part of the Falcon Report coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.